This morning our scripture reading comes from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You may be seated. Pray with me once again. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for your graciousness and your faithfulness to us. And Father, we pray this morning that you would send your Spirit, that you would be kind and gracious to us. Yet again, as we look into your word, Father, I do pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you would have us to receive this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our passage this morning reminds me of one of the characters in the book called The Scarlet Letter. I'm sure many of you were required to read that book in high school English class. And Hester Prynne had a child out of wedlock. And because she had a child out of wedlock, all of the town officials gathered together and forced her to wear this letter on her chest from then out as a constant reminder of the sin that she had committed, the sin of adultery. And it subjected her to ridicule and scorn and disgrace, and it forced her to live on the margins of society essentially for the rest of her life. And I really can't imagine what that would feel like, to be labeled in such a way, to be viewed as a constant outsider, to be looked down at, and to be rejected by society. But I guarantee you that the men in our passage this morning knew exactly what that type of ostracism looked like and felt like. The men that intercepted Jesus while he was on his way to Jerusalem were lepers. And they ran to Jesus and intercepted him to beg for mercy. And in order to understand why they begged for mercy from Jesus, you have to understand a little bit about the condition with which they were afflicted. And as we see in our text, it was leprosy. And leprosy was a terrible condition. It was a skin disease caused by bacteria that would attack the skin and the nerve cells in the body. And it would cause a variety of terrible things. It would cause a loss of feeling in various parts of the body. It would cause a loss of pigmentation, like you would see large white splotches. It could sometimes cause paralysis and disfigurement and incredible pain. It is a terrible disease. But in Israel, the physical symptoms of leprosy weren't the worst of it. There were spiritual and social implications as well. If you began to see like a sore manifesting itself in your body, you would have to go to the priest. And if the priest confirmed you with this skin condition, or he diagnosed you with leprosy, you'd have to do 4 things. You'd have to wear torn clothes at all times. You'd have to have constantly uncombed hair. Anytime that you saw someone, you'd have to scream out, "Unclean, unclean." And then you were cast outside the city gates. These men had been banished from all human contact. They were removed from their family, their friends, the workplace, and the temple. And I would go so far as to say that no one in this room has ever experienced this type of isolation and alienation. No one knows what it feels like to be this alone, to be constantly the object of public scorn and ridicule. When people would see you, they would run the other way. Now remember, this was a real situation with real people. A lot of times it's easy for us to kind of view these as like Bible stories, and it's hard for us to connect with these people personally. These people felt immense pain and hurt because of their separation. And so what was going on is they were put under quarantine so that their skin disease wouldn't be transmitted to other people. But more than that, spiritual or leprosy carried with it this idea of sin and its corruption. Leprosy was an outward sign of an inward reality. It was a picture. It was a sign of a state of sinful corruption. And so these men had been declared spiritually unclean. They had been cut off from the ordinances of salvation in Israel. And no doubt these men felt it keenly. And so that's why they went to Jesus to beg for mercy, because they knew there was nowhere else to go. I'm sure they had tried a variety of different things in order to be made clean and whole, and they just couldn't find it. So they go to Jesus to be made clean. And they had to trust in his power and authority in order to be made whole and new. And so what we're going to see here is just like what we said in the baptism, faith is always a condition of the covenant. In order to receive the benefits of the covenant of grace, in order to receive the benefits of salvation in Jesus Christ, we first have to believe and trust in him despite what our senses see to the contrary. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 it states, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Now this was going to be a testing of their faith. Did they really believe in Jesus, who he is, and what he had done? Or was this just kind of a dead faith or an empty cultural faith? Because notice the text. Jesus was requiring that they believe in him and go on their way to stand before the priest before they were healed. Notice the text that says, as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they weren't healed immediately. And this was a huge risk for these men. Like I said before, they were constantly on the outside, constantly the objects of scorn and rejection and ridicule. No doubt they had been before the priests many times and declared unclean, because there were stipulations in the Bible that one had to go through in order to be declared clean. So like I said before, if you were diagnosed as being a leper, you would be cast out of Israel. You'd have to wear torn clothes and have unkept hair and scream out unclean, unclean, to make sure no one came near you. You were cast outside the city gates. And so if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you would come back after 7 days, come before the priest. He would run through all these diagnostic tests that were laid out in Leviticus. And if you weren't well, if your skin condition was just as bad or getting worse, you'd be cast out again. And this would happen over and over and over again. And so Jesus simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. And so when he first told that to them, their skin condition hadn't changed at all. You know, I can only imagine what they felt like. You know, I'm sure they looked down and they saw the white splotches on their arms. They felt the disfigurement in their bones. They knew all too well the pain that came from that condition. I'm sure they were thinking to themselves, you know, why should we go back to the priest if we haven't been made clean and whole already? And yet that's exactly what Jesus was asking for them to do. It says, verse 14b, as they went, they were cleansed. And so what we see is their response demonstrated the fact that they truly believed in Jesus. They left and they set out to the priest, risking scorn and rejection once again. And as they did so, only as they did so, only as they responded in faith to the command of Jesus, were they healed. And that's very significant, I think, to note. There are three elements of true faith, as we've talked about before. Okay, there's a difference between saving faith and dead faith. And in our culture, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. There are three components to true faith. There's a knowledge of the facts of salvation. There's a mental assent that you agree that those facts are true. But then there's a third component of true and saving faith, and that is called trust, a trust that results in action. And these men had all three components. They knew the facts about Jesus. They mentally agreed that those facts were true. And then they acted on that belief, even though at the time they left, they had not been healed. This is a sign that these men had saving faith. Now, it's just so amazing to me when you see how this passage points us true to the saving work of Jesus all over the place. The text says, as they went, they were healed. And therefore, because they were healed, they knew that they would be declared clean when they showed themselves to the priest. They could go to the priest with confidence and assurance that they would be restored to the covenant community. And so the Bible not only laid out the criteria by which they would either be declared clean or unclean, it also lays out the process, this kind of ceremony that one would have to go through in order to be made clean. And I want to read to you just a portion of the ceremony that these lepers would have to go through in order to be made clean, and you'll see how it points us directly to the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's just incredible, the imagery that we see in the Old Testament. So in Leviticus 14, you don't have to open it now, but later it's verses like 3 through 7. So Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Okay, before they're healed, they set off to do so. Then they find that they're healed, and they go to the priest. Well, what would happen then? Listen to this. Leviticus 14, verse 3. It says, if the person has been healed of his leprosy, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the leprosy, and pronounced him clean. Then he is to release the live bird in the open fields. Now let's just break down this just for a moment. This sacrifice involved two clean birds. That means these birds had to be perfect in almost every way. And each of these birds represents a different aspect of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The first bird was to be killed as a substitute for the leper, killed in a very bloody way, and its blood drained into a pot. And so the leper would be standing there, and he would see this. He would see this bird, this clean bird, slaughtered, and its blood poured into this bowl that was partially filled with fresh water. Next, the live bird was to be dipped in the blood of the dead bird so that it bore the stain of sin. And then that same bird, that live bird who had been dipped in the blood of the dead one, was to be sprinkled seven times on the leper, signifying that the leper was now cleansed. And last but not least, the live bird who had been dipped in the blood of the one who had died was set free to fly far, far away. And what you're supposed to do is put yourself in the position of this former leper, okay, who had seen this bloody ceremony enacted in front of him, to see this bird slaughtered, its blood drained into a bowl, then the live bird dipped into the blood, sprinkled on him, and then set free. And you can only imagine how he felt as he saw that bird getting farther and farther and farther away. That red bloody stain, you know, getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it couldn't be seen anymore. And what does that obviously picture? That pictures the cleansing work of Jesus Christ that we receive when we trust in Him by grace through faith. And the Bible says that our sins have been separated from us as far as what? As far as the east is from the west. It was a visible, tangible sign of the gospel. And there is no doubt that he would have felt enormous gratitude and relief as he saw that bird getting farther and farther and farther away. And I want to stop here for just a moment. Perhaps there are some of you here today who have not placed your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there are some of you here today who long to be made clean because you are all too aware of the guilt that is yours because of the sins that you have committed. Perhaps you realize and are intimately familiar with the fact that you are unclean as you stand before a righteous and holy God. I certainly was familiar with that feeling for 19 years of my life. Before I trusted it in the person and work of the Lord Jesus, I had a constant awareness that I was unclean. I felt a constant sense of guilt because I knew that I was rightly condemned by a righteous and holy God. And I cannot convey to you the feeling of wholeness and cleanness when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, if you have not trusted in Jesus, I want you to trust in Him and to follow the example of the men in our passage today who trusted in Jesus by grace through faith and had their sin removed from them and were made clean from all that made them dirty in the sight of God. And I have no doubt that this leper knew that he would be declared clean by the priest after he had been made whole and healed. I have no doubt that he was going to run to the priest in gratitude and thankfulness, and that's why he turned right around and went to Jesus and thanked him and fell on his face. Look at verse 15. He's this one individual man. He's been healed, and I think he knows that when he goes to the priest, he knows that the ceremony is going to be true for him. Verse 15, it says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan." And perhaps it should be better translated, "because he was a Samaritan." This man was an outsider, not only because he was a leper, but because he was a Samaritan. And Samaritans were hated by Jews. They were constantly on the outside. They didn't fit in. They were ostracized at every single point. And yet this man was made whole and clean by Jesus as well. And so he couldn't contain himself. And so he turned right around and ran back to Jesus and bent over and kissed his feet. And why did he do that? Because he understood what the grace of God in Jesus meant. He understood the degree to which he was lost. He was a Samaritan leper. It didn't get any worse than that. And he just couldn't help himself. He had to run back and thank Jesus and praise him for his grace and his mercy. And I think that is a wonderful example for all of us. I think we should ask the question, are we this thankful? Are we this grateful for what Jesus has done for us? Or have we over the years begun to take our forgiveness more and more for granted? Because I'll tell you this, the degree to which you understand your lostness and how expensive it was for God to find you will be the degree to which that you exhibit a spirit of thankfulness. The degree to which you understand your lostness will be the degree to which you thank God when he finds you. And that means for all of us that the gospel should never grow old. It should never be routine or mundane. It should always stay fresh and new. We should never allow our hearts to grow cold and dull to the work of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. Because like I said, leprosy was just an outward sign of an inward reality. Leprosy represented sin and its debilitating effects. See, the leper is a representative of you and me, of how unclean we are, of how sinful we are, of how utterly incapable we are in and of ourselves to make ourselves clean. Apart from the person and work of the Lord Jesus, we would always be alienated from the love of God. We would always be left outside the city gates. We would always be the objects of scorn and ridicule. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ." And my prayer for all of us at Providence Presbyterian Church is that we would never allow these truths to grow cold in our hearts. And even today, I want you to meditate on what it means to be outside of the covenant. I want you to be conscious of the fact that if Jesus did not save you, you would be utterly lost. Every week as we come to hear the preaching of the Word, and I have to remind myself of this constantly, that it shouldn't be taken for granted. That even if we hear things that we have heard hundreds or thousands of times before, we need to make every effort to apply them in new and fresh ways to our heart. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should be thanking God that these realities are not just true in general, but they are true of us specifically. We need to be thanking God that He gave us the gift of faith so that we can apprehend these things and partake of them. And be thankful that the Lord Jesus makes us clean and whole, that He gets rid of the sense of guilt and corruption that is true of us. And so I will say this, the degree to which you understand your lostness will be the degree to which you exhibit a spirit of thankfulness. And I pray that God would never allow these truths to grow old or cold in our hearts and our minds. And even as we partake of this table this morning, I want you to partake of this table as if you're partaking of it for the first time. Okay? Because this table before us is received by what? By faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus. That's how we receive and appropriate the benefits of the supper as we partake of it by faith. We trust in Jesus that He will make us clean and whole as we do so. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank You for this vivid picture of the gospel. Father, we know all too well that the lepers in this passage represent all of us. Father, we are all too aware of sin and its corrupting influence in our hearts and our minds. Father, we are all too aware of what it feels like to be alienated and on the outside of Your covenant of promise. And Father, we thank You that in Christ Jesus, we who were once far, far away have been brought near through His blood. And Father, I pray that these truths would continue to remain fresh and new in our hearts and our minds. I pray that we would be just like the leper who would have to turn around and thank Him because of the significance of what has been brought to bear in his life. Father, we thank You and praise You for the Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.